Yes.
Excellent. Great. This is going to be an outstanding session. We get a lot of questions from a lot of folks about what the heck do I write about? I understand I need a blog. I understand I need to write a newsletter. I understand I need to be generating press releases once a quarter. All of these things that we tell people that they need to be doing. But people have trouble coming up with ideas that are newsworthy or interesting. They say, what do I know that anybody else would want to hear about? How do I come up with article ideas and those kinds of things? So that's what we're going to talk about today. It's just going to be kind of our idea generation workshop. I am sure that if you listen to this entire hour, you will never have the problem again of thinking about what the heck do I write about. It's just picking among all of the fantastic ideas that you'll have. So that is the objective for this hour. So please turn off your cell phones and pay full attention because this is definitely going to be an hour well spent. We believe that every company is a publishing company. We think that any company can sell a product, but great companies sell a solution to a problem. And in order to do that, you really need to produce great material. And whether that's even just a user manual for your product, or whether that is promotional materials, whatever it is, if you produce really fantastic material, you'll be a much better company, regardless of two products being alike. The one that people will understand how to use and the one that people get is the one that wins in the marketplace every time. Would you agree, John?
Yep. Every time we go looking for something, we're looking for, well, not a product set, but a solution to a problem we have.
Exactly.
And so it becomes obvious, even when you are just trying to solve a small problem, that it's a solution you're looking for and not just a product.
Exactly. Exactly. And whether that's a flight training or whether that's a part or whether that is a an airplane, whatever it is, you're actually looking for not necessarily that part of that airplane or that training, but you're looking for a way to do whatever it is that you want to do. You're looking for a way to get a typewriting to get a job, or you're looking for the part to fix your airplane so that you can reduce your downtime. You're looking to solve a problem or to take advantage of an opportunity. And having great information is just as important as having great products and services. So a little bit more about that. Why do you need great content? Great content leads to relationships, which leads to sales. And as we all know, when we're looking for something, when we're looking for a product, we really like to work with the salespeople that we know are very informative and very up to speed on a particular product and things like that. So, and if you've been working with us for a while, you know that John is kind of our resident target demographic. He's an exec in the aviation industry, and he's about the right education level, gender, all those demographic factors that we look for. So, John, when you're looking for a product, what's the process that you go through?
Well, I research, try to find out everything I can about their product or service. As an example, trying to find some place that will service an aircraft in a reasonable fashion for a reasonable price is not the easiest thing to do, because you're looking for everything from quality to you can trust these folks to everything else. And once I found that, you try. Sometimes, even with great content, you don't you're misled. That just happens.
That's true. Right, but you look for the websites that you like the most when you're shopping are the ones that have the most information and detail and helpful information.
Absolutely.
Right. Great. This is our marketing process. We affectionately call this the Big Blue Tree, or our long cycle marketing process. Every one of our client has some version of this. It may be taller and skinnier, it may be shorter and fatter, but they all have a phase one, phase two, and phase three. And you can see that content is needed at lots of places in this marketing cycle. You need it. You need new content to put on your website for search engine optimization. You need new content for social media. You need new content for direct mail, whether that's a newsletter or a sales letter or anything else. You need it for trade shows so that you have something interesting to say or an interesting presentation going on in your booth. And, you know, pretty much any other kind of advertising that you have, you need content for. If you're sending weekly emails to your customers, which we highly recommend, you need new content for that. It can't always be, we're still here, buy something from us, or something along those lines. If you're sending a printed newsletter, it needs to have good stuff in it. Your website always has to have new content on it, which is great. And you also need it every time your salesperson makes a call. If they have something new to say, and if they can say, did you see our article in this magazine, or something along those lines, it's a lot better than them just calling and saying, so how are we? Have we made a decision about purchasing this product yet? So that's a really important thing. We also like to have information to provide at the time of sale so that we can hand a customer what we call a welcome kit, you know, that has the user manual or, you know, something along those lines that introduces them to the product and shows them how to use it correctly and what they should be expecting as far as service, how to get a hold of you when they have a problem and so on. You need information or new content for your referral program and your recapture campaign. And those are when you want your customers to, you know, maybe forward an article or something like that to their friends and neighbors and let them know about your product. So that's a lot of content. The good thing is that when you write a great article, you can use it over and over and over again, and we'll be showing you how to take it apart and use it in these different parts of your marketing campaign. Let's talk for a minute about what we call non-content. this is the kind of thing that we see fairly often on social media. Sometimes we see it on blogs. Sometimes we see it on websites. You know, sometimes we even see it in postcards and other information. Some of this is okay, you know, but it certainly shouldn't be all you're doing. You know, like I said, it's not bad for a start, and it's certainly better than nothing. At least you're communicating with your customers. But it's lacking in substance if you say, you know, like us on Facebook or like us on LinkedIn or connect with us on LinkedIn. Our product rocks. Our customers rock. 10% off on product X. Every time I see a product discounted, my first thought is that their marketing department lacks imagination. You know, there really are very few reasons to discount a product. And often it will do you more harm than good because it affects your credibility and your margins. So, you know, you don't want to do that unless you absolutely have to, and so on. So, John, what do you think when you see stuff like this in advertisements or on the web?
I go look somewhere else.
Well, yeah, okay. But, you know, things like photos from our cookout and our customer service rocks, actually, I think that's probably okay in social media, but it should be probably 25% or less of the type of content that you publish should be this sort of what we call fluff, which is really kind of lacking in substance. But it's great to have human interest stories, so don't let us discourage you from that. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, connect with us on LinkedIn or you know, whatever the situation is. But that shouldn't be all that your marketing campaign is composed of. So these are the types of content that we are used to creating for our clients and that we recommend that everyone at least consider creating. Books, user guides, newsletters, blog articles, press releases, ebooks, iBooks, Facebook updates, LinkedIn updates, Pinterest posts, you know, we could go on and on about the types of content that that we recommend that people create. But a lot of people look at this list and they say, wow, that's really time consuming. So what we're going to show you is basically how to, when you get a good idea for something, how to break it down into some of these formats and how to build it up into other formats. So first of all, let's say you write a great article. Ideally, you have an idea in your mind or an outline in your minds or somewhere on a board at your company for a larger piece of content, like a printed book. And the reason we recommend a printed book is because it is the ultimate credibility builder to be the company that published a book on a particular topic. And for a lot of our clients, we actually put a program in place that allows them to publish a book within a year or 2 years of doing business with us. So part of what we do in our editorial calendar is we outline that book, and then every article that we write for their blog eventually will be used in a book. And of course, that can also be used in a newsletter, an ebook, a white paper, a printed book, or an iBook, which of course is a book with even more features delivered electronically through the iTunes store. So, those are all interesting ways to deploy content that you've already written. And if your goal is on a printed book or something like that, then it becomes much easier to generate all of the rest of this material in order, and it all makes sense. Your blog has some continuity to it because you have a nice outline, and also you're working toward a larger objective. And that really helps with deadlines and things, because it's easier to get people to write if they know that it's going to be compiled eventually into a printed book that they'll be able to use, especially if it's a salesperson, they'll be able to hand that to their customers, which is the ultimate credibility building business card or leave behind. Printed newsletter. A lot of times we will deliver materials on our blog, and then a couple of weeks later it comes out in our printed newsletter, and people call us having seen it for the first time in our printed newsletter. I know a lot of people are probably looking at that last graphic saying, but isn't that repeating a lot of what you're saying? And we have never had that problem for a couple of reasons. Number one, because sometimes people need to see things more than once in order for it to register. And number two, not everybody is going to be watching your blog, and not everybody is going to be watching your watching your Twitter feed or your Facebook feed. So they may not actually see an article until it comes out in your newsletter.
As a matter of fact, some interesting things about the printed newsletter is once you've had it out for one or two iterations, if somebody misses one, our experience has been, if people miss it the next time around, they call us and say, "What's up? I missed your newsletter." And you know how the mail is these days, but nonetheless, we send them another one. But it's just interesting they call it and ask for it because of whatever reason they call it and ask for it.
Right, exactly. And, so a lot of people, something isn't real until it appears in paper. And, John, I know you prefer paper to, any type of electronic media. Is that still true?
Mostly. I don't really subscribe the New York Times. I've got a thing that I look at on the iPhone from time to time. But by and large, I prefer printed books, printed materials, the Wall Street Journal, everything in paper.
Right.
I grew up that way. But, I like, there's just something that is not quite right about having an iPad or something and trying to read a long article or in a Wall Street Journal, I know which page to flip to go look at whatever market or whatever news article I'm looking for. And if I'm on the iPad, for crying out loud, what do you search on? How do you make that happen? I know.
Exactly.
I haven't learned how to do that yet. But nonetheless, I like paper.
Exactly. And I think that's true of a lot of, like I said, John is kind of our ideal demographic for aviation industry decision makers. And I think that's really true, that a lot of the marketing materials that we create, they cost more to get a piece of paper into somebody's hands, but it certainly is very much worth it to use that mix of media, where you've got the online materials for the younger folks and also for things like video that you can't deliver on paper. But paper is definitely not dead, and it is definitely still worth the time and money for us to produce a printed newsletter, even though every single word of it is produced elsewhere.
The other thing is that we have clients that are international in scope, and they go overseas and they'll see a copy of their newsletter sitting on the guy's desk.
Exactly. And that's fantastic. You know, when you see your own newsletter, or, you know, a client sees a copy of his newsletter on a customer's lobby overseas, or a potential customer's lobby overseas, you know, that really shows that those are getting out there and getting read and getting passed around in a way that that electronic things don't get passed around. All right, ebooks, white papers, and special reports. And we also had a question about what's the difference between an ebook and an iBook, and this is probably a great place to answer that as well. An ebook, we typically define, or at least in our experience, is a set of materials that we deliver online through a website. And we often use that in our marketing materials as what we call a magnet. So we put that behind.
You're breaking up. We need to stop.
Start over from there. Okay, I hear we have a technical issue. If you could let me know if you can hear me, that would be very helpful. You can either type it into the chat window or raise your hand or whatever.
Why don't you start back talking about ebooks and white papers, the difference?
Excellent, okay. Great, so we'll start at the beginning of this slide, and I apologize if there's a repeat. We're talking about ebooks, white papers, special reports, and we were going to answer the question of about iBooks as well in this section. So eBooks are basically a collection of information. We try to format that pretty nicely. And that gives us the opportunity to request someone's information, someone's contact information, their email address and their name, you know, possibly even a phone number, in exchange for some high value information. We try to make these really helpful, you know, an agnostic information that anybody could use, whether they become a client or not. And the reason for that is because this shouldn't be just a sales pitch. This really should be something that people can take home and use. And then it really positions us as an information provider. We do this also for a lot of our customers, you know, maybe creating a buyer's guide to, you know, a particular type of product, or a buyer's guide to advanced aircraft training, you know, something along those lines. So that's really what an ebook, white paper, or special report is for, is to deliver it via a website in what we call a lead capture or lead magnet format. An iBook is a little bit different from that in that it's delivered through iTunes. So once you have created that material, and you can make them really, really content rich, and a lot of people will take even a printed book and turn it into an iBook and add video and other things and interactive features and deploy that as an iBook application that's delivered through the iTunes store so that people can download it to their iPhone or their iPad or whatever they like. So that's really the difference between an ebook and an iBook. But all of it is pretty much the same thing. It's just a question of delivery. So thank you for that question, and hopefully that answers it. And those are really, really useful. Sometimes these can be really the key to a great marketing campaign, is having a very attractive white paper or special report.
Let me just add... when you decide to publish an iBook, Apple is very specific about formatting. They're very specific about a number of things, and you will not be allowed to publish it until you I mean, it's all your choice, but they require you to have like some sort of cover and other things such as that. And then you have the option to make your iBook free or a purchased book, and then you go different directions there. The limit is 2 gigabytes and for size, whereas an ebook is limited only by what you think you can download in a hurry.
Yeah, exactly. So for marketing purposes, I think ebooks are a lot more flexible, but we wouldn't discourage anyone from also producing the same material as an iBook and just having another method of distribution.
Exactly.
Printed books. We had talked about how this is a this really is the most credible source of information, or the most credible format that you can put information in is to compile it into a book. Another thing, another benefit that you have from compiling a book is you get to sell it on Amazon. Now, Amazon varies between number one and number five as far as the most popular. I don't think it's ever actually number one. Somewhere between number two and number five, as one of the very most popular websites on the internet. And if you can get your name associated with your keywords on Amazon, there is a lot to be said for that, even if you never sell a book. So there's a lot of benefit in creating a book and making it available on Amazon. Number one, people can buy it, of course, and have that available for them. We typically don't look to become a number one New York Times bestseller list kind of a situation, mostly because our clients are such a niche market. You know, these are not mass market books. We're not looking to make a killing on publishing a book. But we are looking to produce something that is very, very credible and also having something that we can use in our marketing process. Maybe when somebody's at a certain point in the marketing process and you've given them a demonstration of your product or whatever, you can leave them with a book. And you know, that's kind of a nice little gift that that helps the sales process as well. And you get the additional benefits of getting onto a lot of these book search engines, particularly Amazon, where your name is associated with your keywords as an expert on that topic. So a lot of people, even if you've never considered publishing a book, we'd suggest that you do consider publishing a book and being the company that wrote the book on whatever it is that your company specializes in. So we talked about building up articles to additional formats like ebooks, iBooks, special reports, and books, and so on. Now let's talk about breaking it down. So you have an article. And you can break that down into smaller components that you can use as one or several LinkedIn updates, one or several Facebook updates, one or several Pinterest posts, one or several tweets, or postcards, or you know, any number of things using a subset of that material. And we showed you this last month, but I think it's worth going through again in this context to show you how we break down a piece of content. And you know, this is an article on our website, and it's a pretty lengthy article that has a nice infographic on it. We publish that in our newsletter, of course. We also take the graphics from it and post it to Facebook. Since Facebook is a very visual platform, we can do that once or several times. We can take little bits of information and publish them as tweets. So we really work to get our money's worth, since the most expensive thing that we do is write. You know, that's something that can't be automated. It's something that can't be farmed out to somebody that's not really intimate with our business. And for most of our clients, we either do the writing ourselves or we pay an awful lot of money to have experts write that content. And so once we've made that investment and we have that article, we want to make sure that we are using it in every possible way. So we build it up and we also break it down in all of those ways. So now let's talk about now we know what we can do once we have an article and how to make that go 10 times further than we could before. But now let's look at your editorial calendar, which really should be your master plan for the content that you're producing. And it really should include the goals and objectives for your organization and the goals and objectives for the material that you need to publish. So, you know, once you've done your competitive analysis and you know, here are the things that are unique about our business that we do better than anybody else does. Those are the things that you really need to highlight and communicate. So you put together an editorial calendar with a publishing strategy based on, you know, what staff do we have? What resources do we have? How much do they like to write? You know, would they rather write or would they rather sit in front of a camera and do a 1 minute dialogue, you know, once a week? You know, those kinds of things. So, you know, a publishing strategy might be to publish to the blog every Wednesday. And then of those four Wednesdays, you could take one of them and publish a product highlight, one employee highlight, one product or one video clip and one cartoon. So that's your four Wednesdays of the month. Put a different person in charge of each of those items. And then, you know, suddenly you have content coming out on a regular basis. And we do recommend keeping a regular schedule because that really helps with the credibility of your blog. You know, if people are seeing things come out every Wednesday, then you suddenly become a reliable company, at least in perception, if not in reality. All right, and then topics for each month. You know, as you go through your editorial calendar, you can think, okay, here's March is coming up. Maybe there's a particular show or something that's going on in March. You know, of course, we've got NBAA in late October. Everybody's building up toward that. And, of course, we're going to want to plan some content around that. So when we look at the year as a whole, that really helps us figure that out. And then another thing is you really want to assign those out as much as you can and get help writing articles. John and I have had a lot of experience in farming out articles and to people who don't necessarily work for us. So, you know, that's one of those things where if you give them as much time as you can, give them as much direction as you can, they're a lot more likely to come back with quality material. The next part that we do, and it's really nice to have a team of people because you can do this by yourself, but it's a lot easier if you have some help separating this into a couple of different tasks. There's a creative process and then there's a critical process. And a lot of people think that they are saving time by doing these both at the same time. But really what you do when you do that is you are kind of stifling ideas before they even come out of your mouth. And that really inhibits the creativity of the whole process. So, when we are brainstorming topic ideas and we have the calendar in front of us and we're looking at, you know, what are we going to write in August? As an example, our rule is there are no bad ideas, at least at this stage. Of course, there are bad ideas, but during the brainstorming process, we just write down whatever comes out of anybody's mouth. There is no judging. There is no editing. There's nothing that happens at this stage because sometimes the weirdest ideas end up being the very best ones. So we just throw all of these ideas out into the air in the creative process. There's also a smaller version of the creative process once we have an idea and we start drafting an article. When I'm drafting an article, I want no input from anybody until I get to a certain point. And then I hand it to John with a red pen, and then that's the sign, okay, now you can get out your red pen and do your thing. And the critical process is really what makes the difference between an ordinary company and an extraordinary company. Every human being on this planet, I am convinced, has good ideas. And they probably have more good ideas than they know that they have. And the reason for that is because they don't execute them very well. So having somebody who is very good with a red pen and being able to set aside all personality and all ego and everything else during the critical process really makes the difference between an ordinary company and an extraordinary company. And
even
John has run so many red pens out of ink that I almost can't even tell you.
Even in the creative process, when you say there are, quote, no bad ideas, when you write them all down, some of the things that didn't appear to be good to start with may line up with something next to it or above it, and the two of them will spawn a third, which is a good idea, which is why you just let it all flow.
Right, exactly. So that's, really a nice division of labor between the two of us. I tend to focus on the creative process. John tends to focus on the critical process, and I think that makes a pretty nice division of labor. Sometimes we have to reverse that, and it's really awkward. It's like writing with your left hand. I think for John to come up with material, or for me to be critical. Does that sound accurate to you, John?
Yes, and the really tough part is trying to find additional help that can write, because people, at least in aviation, with aviation backgrounds, tend to have issues with writing.
True.
And I mean, we've tested a lot of people, because we'll hire anybody we can find that will write up to our standards. And because there's so few of them and far between out there, which is what makes it
That's
so
key.
expensive.
Exactly. So we do pay well, and if you know anybody who writes really well in the aviation industry, we'd be happy to talk with them. But yeah, this is the process that we stick with. And even if you're doing your own writing, we highly recommend, if you've got great topic ideas, it makes it 1,000 times easier to write than if you're facing a blank sheet of paper. And we actually plan a creative session. We go to Denny's. We get out of the office, and we just sit there and come up with ideas on sticky notes, and that's a really good process for us because it gets us out of our normal office setting, and really helps us hone in on, this part is the creative process. We'll do the critical process later.
Yep.
All right, so
It's amazing
what?
when you're sitting there free form over a cup of coffee. In fact, we go with the intent of taking a break just to get out of the office, and then we end up, the ideas just come zooming out.
Exactly. That is very true. And I think that's where a lot of people run into issues is trying to do both of those things at the same time. Here are 10 topic ideas. And if you, these are all on the cheat sheet for this class, and we'll be sending this to you after the class, or if you don't get one, email me and I'll make sure you get one. But this is basically, if you don't have any ideas of what to write about, and the first thing you look at is your editorial calendar, because if you've done a good job of outlining all of those things, then you'll never be stuck for ideas. But if you happen to come across a Wednesday, or whatever the day is that you need to publish material, and you just have no idea what to write, you'll never be stuck again if you've got this cheat sheet that you can hang on your wall. The first one is to write an article based on a question. What questions do customers ask? And anybody who answers the phone at your company will know the answer to that. What does everybody want to know? And maybe it's not even a question that you think is terribly relevant. Maybe the question is, why does your product cost so much? You turn that around, and you could make a really fantastic article out of that. And say, here's the materials, here is the craftsmanship, this is why you should pay more for this product than buying it from our competition, where you're going to end up with problems, and so on. So, sometimes even a question that doesn't sound like a great article can turn out to be something that you really should be writing about, because if people are asking the question, they're obviously interested enough to read it. Next one, mention a recent trade show appearance or speaking engagement. I know a lot of the folks on the phone, Mike Lucy, Sherry Friesener, Jeff Rich, you guys all do public speaking appearances. And people ask you questions. You may also have photographs, or you may have video from those speaking engagements. Those make great blog posts. All you have to do is just take the video. If you've got good sound on that video, just stick it in your blog. and you could actually break it down into 30-second or a minute segments where you're speaking about a particular topic, and put it on your blog with a good title and a little paragraph summarizing it, and you're good to go. So that's another way to generate good content. Write about related businesses. So, write about one of your suppliers. Maybe you have a relationship with a parts supplier, and they are the only people that you can buy products from because their quality is higher than everybody else's. That's something that's worth writing about. Find a news article in a trade publication. There's been a lot going on lately with that Asiana flight, and there's a lot in the news. There's always a lot in the news about aviation. If your product is related to that in any way, you can find a way to use that as the inspiration for an article. And you can either just publish the article with an attribution and with your comments, or take the idea from an article and say, this is how our company addresses this issue, or this is what we think about this for this reason. They create an editorial about that news item. Use a metaphor. We use a metaphor in our marketing about rotation speed. If you don't get the rotation speed to get your product off the ground, then you're going to waste a lot of gas or a lot of money and a lot of runway doing marketing that's not effective. So, if you don't get your marketing campaign to a good rotation speed, you're not going to be successful. And I think a lot of folks in aviation, they think of an airplane taking off. They've never thought about marketing in that same sense. But that metaphor makes a really good article for us. It also makes a really good way to explain our product. So, again, use that creative process and think of ways, how could we explain our product or our process using some kind of a metaphor that everyone's familiar with? Write an interview or a feature story about a client. Those are always good. They're good for the clients. They're good for us. They're fun to do. We really enjoy spending time with our clients. So, of course, those are fun to do. And if we're ever on site with a client, we like to include an interview with them, to make sure that we're taking advantage of that opportunity to be on site. We'll interview them about how they feel about us, and we'll interview them about their process and how things work and how they're different from every other company. And that usually yields quite a bit of material that we can use in different blog posts, different YouTube videos, and so forth. Write a demo or create a video tutorial. These are really fun because, as an example, we have a management company, aviation management company that we work with, that produces really extensive reports for their customers each month. This is a great selling point, but nobody knows about it unless they are a customer and they have these reports. So, if they can do a demo, a video demo of here's the report that you get, and this is why we do each of these sections in this report, and this is what you can tell from it, and this is how you can better manage your airplane because of this information that you're giving us or that we're giving you. That really makes a great article as well. Write a feature about a charity or a service project that you're working on. Some folks work with Habitat for Humanity, building houses or whatever. Some work with, I think, the Muscular Dystrophy Association locks people up and has them request bail from their coworkers and things like that. If you get involved with something like that, that sometimes makes a nice little human interest article. And John, you're kind of the barometer of fluff. So at some point it gets into fluff, but an article like that every once in a while wouldn't turn you off, would it?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, you need to keep an open mind and observe because we walk around through normal life and both I'll hear something on the radio, the TV, or people talking, and I said, that'd make a great article.
Exactly. And sometimes those things, like we just wrote one on we were listening to Treasure Island, and something we heard in Treasure Island triggered an idea for an article. I mean, that was about as off topic as you can possibly get. Write about an upcoming event. If you're planning on attending NBAA, if you're planning on speaking at NBAA, you can talk about, here's the topic we're going to be addressing. We hope you'll attend. Do you have any questions that you'd like to hear us speak about? Sometimes the surveys that you do in advance of a speaking engagement make really great articles because people are interested in hearing, what are other people's questions and so on. And number 10 is to use humor. And again, this is the weirdest thing because sometimes we can write, we do recommend having a mix of styles and a mix of topics, but we can write an article that takes us weeks to get all the facts correct and is absolutely perfect and very substantial and very helpful, we believe, to our clients. And the one that will get the most attention will be the one, where somebody snapped a shot of a deer on the runway outside their window, and that gets more attention and more hits and more remarks and more comments from prospective customers and so on than this article that we spent days or weeks putting together. And that can be frustrating, but you can use it to your advantage. And we do recommend that you inject a little humor into your marketing and maybe have a regular feature once a month or something like that where you do a Funny Friday or whatever, and look for comics, look for jokes, look for other things that that are funny. Again, you want to make sure that they are, you're not going to get yourself in trouble with your target audience by being any kind of off-color humor or anything like that. But it's one of those universal things that really improves any kind of relationship if you insert a little bit of levity in there. Now, all levity aside,
Yeah, no
we
joke.
have the legal quandary. John, do you want to talk about this one?
This is something you need to be, it's disgusting, but again, it's something you need to be aware of. There was a time when stuff on the internet, if it was there, you could use it. It is no longer that way. As a matter of fact, we know some folks that got into a bit of a hassle with some people because they used a picture from the internet on their blog. And there was no indication at all on the picture, in the alt tags, anywhere else, that it was in fact a copyrighted picture. Somebody else had copied it, and somebody else had copied it, and somebody else had copied it. By the time the individual we're talking about got around to using it, there was no way to trace back to find out if it was copyrighted. Nonetheless, it was, against the law. So,
Someone, claiming to have the original copyright on that actually demanded that they remove it, and they demanded compensation. And I think that's not unusual
and they have
for
case
that.
law on their side. So, somebody somewhere lost that, and there you go.
Exactly. And there's been case law both ways. Some people will argue that if something has share buttons on it, that they're giving implied permission, that they want this to be shared on the web. They want people to use this. I don't know that that's enough anymore. There is basically, we just copied in the law about fair use. And you can see it's not very specific. So you could make the argument either way, and I think our policy has always been and will be for the near future, if there is any question about the copyright standing of any particular piece of information, we will remove it. And we don't fight those copyright battles. So
A
if
far
somebody claims a prior copyright, unless we wrote it ourselves and we can prove it, and or unless we took that picture or created that image, we don't fight about it, no matter whether we purchased it or whatever. Because even if we purchased it from someone, someone may claim a prior copyright from before the person that we purchased it from.
unless you get
So
it from
that's
someplace like Getty Images or iStock Photos, those people then can fight it. We don't have to.
Well, I mean, there's always the circumstance where Getty could say that iStock or that they have the original. There have been fights between even the stock photography companies about who had the original copyright.
Well, but that's their issue, not mine.
That's true. If you've got a receipt, you're probably okay. But even so, we don't fight those battles. That's not the business that we're in. Google Alerts. This is another way to get great information. And I'll show you how to use this without getting in trouble in just a few minutes. But Google Alerts are one of our favorite things. You can also set up other kinds of alerts through other services, RSS feeds and other things in your whatever reader that you use, whether it's a Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever it is that you're using. Google Alerts is one of the simplest ones, and so we highly recommend that. Any keywords that have to do with your company or with your product, you want to put in as alerts. And you just basically go to google.com/alerts and you put in whatever words you want and you tell it how often you want those results delivered to you. You can have it once a day, once a week, once a month. And you can say whether you want everything or only the best results and so on and where you want them delivered. And then you can manage, of course, all of your alerts as those keywords change. And things happen. So we recommend setting up Google Alerts for any keywords that you want to keep track of for your company or your products. And then you'll be aware of what's going on in other media about your product or service. And then you always have something you can refer to. It's also a great way to keep an eye on your competitors. So when you use materials from other sources, you want to make sure that you attribute them. And here's an example of that. A lot of articles will have share buttons on them. And if you are sharing the entire article, you're a lot safer than if you're sharing an image, for example. So we feel pretty good about sharing articles. And here's one that's been shared on Facebook. And there's a little editorial comment above that, and then there's the link to the article and comments below that. And that's a perfectly legitimate use of other people's topics. So, something comes in on your Google Alerts, feel free to use it in this way. This is not going to get you in trouble, and it's a great way to associate your name with NBAA, for example, is one of the really reputable organizations in our industry. We like to quote them on a regular basis. We like to quote, the major manufacturers and others, people that we want to be associated with in the media. So that's a good one. We also like to follow our favorite reporters and make sure we quote them often so that we keep those relationships going. Image sources, Flickr, iStock Photos, Getty Images. One thing we highly recommend that you do to protect yourself, as we have mentioned, is to search for Creative Commons licensed content. And we always check the top box, search for Creative Commons content, and we also check the second box saying find content to use commercially. Since we're using this for marketing purposes, we want to make sure that both of those boxes are checked. If we do that in Flickr or anywhere else, then we know we're getting content that's safe to use. If we purchase images from iStock Photos or Getty Images, both of which are fantastic and have really good search engines, we make sure we keep our receipts, and you can actually even put the receipt in an alt tag on the image so that you don't lose it. And put the purchase date, receipt number, all that stuff in an alt tag on the image, and then you never have a problem. Hopefully, never have a problem. I guess I shouldn't say never. All right, so here's our checklist. You want to consider the content that your company produces and how it supports your competitive advantage. We had talked about, coming up with those great marketing messages and using them on your editorial calendar. How do you want to publish those messages and get them to the right people at the right time? Consider how better content will improve your sales process. If you talk to your sales guys, they will probably tell you, or if you are the sales guys in a lot of cases, you'll know what are customers always wanting. What are the questions they always have? Could you have that that content available in a more compelling format for them? Would it be more compelling if it were published in a book, as an example, and so on? Evaluate the current content on your site and social media. Does it lack substance? Or does it lack humor? You could go either direction and say it's too stuffy and, doesn't let any sunshine in, and say, we need to inject a regular feature on humor or, something along those lines. Or you can decide all of this is fluff. We need to step it up a notch. We need to get some real facts involved, get some real writers involved and take this up a level. Create an editorial calendar that includes a big picture. And again, if you've got an idea for a book that you want to publish at some point in the future, that really has a lot of benefits besides the book itself, but also adds that continuity to your blog and your other materials that can't be done in any other way that I know of. So that's a great thing. Have a master plan to build each piece of content into a larger deliverable and to break each piece of content down into smaller ones. And again, that lets you take one piece of content and make 10 or 20, get 10 or 20 times the mileage out of it. You want to plan time for your creative process and your critical process and separate the two of them. Don't try to do them both at the same time. If you've ever tried to write while editing and you're crossing out your misspellings and so on while words are still coming out of your head, that just stifles the process, and then you end up losing the thread of what you were writing, and it just takes a lot longer to get the idea out. So do the creative first, critical second. The creative is where the great stuff comes from, and the critical is where it gets polished to really make the difference between a good company and a great one. The creative process will make your company good. The critical process will make it great. We have a show your work challenge as always. The gift this month, if you complete the show your work challenge, is a book on content creation by Joseph Meerman Scott, one of our favorite authors, so that's definitely worth doing. And we'll be putting this into the courseware online. There's also a survey there if you want to send it to us, either by fax or snail mail. We'll send you a free gift with next month's lesson, so we hope that you will do that. Great. So coming up in August, first of all, are there any questions about content creation? Sherry, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to mention that you said number 5 is the most important item on the checklist. So I'm going to back up and look at that. If I can get back there without 2, 3, 4, 5. Master plan, right. I agree with you. That's something that is very difficult to do, but it's actually very much worth it if you can get that to happen. Any other questions on content creation, or we'll go on to show you what's in store for August. All right. So much with the suspense. Working with the press. Why press release services alone don't work. A lot of people will use PR Web or a lot of these publishing services for press releases, and then they are surprised that they don't get much pickup from, especially from aviation publications. They may get pickup in, local papers and other kinds of things, but it seems the aviation publications have their own way of doing things. So we'll be talking about that and talking about how to get published or mentioned in them. And let's see. Courting reporters, we always recommend having a pretty good relationship with the reporters that write for the magazines that your customers read, and we'll be talking about how to do that. They are overworked and underpaid the same as the rest of us, so we'll show you some ways that you can make life easier for them, which makes it a lot easier for you to get in their good graces and actually make it easier for them to use your materials and to mention you. we'll talk about creating a media kit, which is basically along those lines of making it easier for those reporters so that they have images and they have bios on your folks. They have all of the things that they need in order to do things the way they want to. And you can do those online, or you can do those on electronic media that you can hand to someone. But definitely there's a list of things that we want to make sure that you have in there. So those are things that we'll be talking about in August. Press conferences and other opportunities. Of course, we've got a lot of folks going to NBAA, and a lot of people that have booths, you know, don't realize that they have the opportunity to set up a press conference. And, you know, they may feel intimidated about doing that if they're not going to be fully prepared. So we'll show you some of the things that you can do to make that really worth your time. So that is basically it. And we really appreciate you spending some time with us today. And hopefully you got, you know, our objective today was to make sure that you will never again sit in front of your computer and in front of a blank sheet of paper going, what the heck do I write about? So if we've done that, then we've accomplished our objective. So thank you very much, and have a lovely afternoon.